There is therefore now, Romans 1 says, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. It was already condemned. It didn't need any further condemnation. It was already under as much condemnation as it needed, and a lot more, because that's what the enemy does. That's what he's sent to do, to put us under condemnation and cause us to feel we have to live our lives in guilt and shame. Amen. That's what he wants to happen. He wants us to lose that sense of peace that God has come, has brought to us, because that's what the gospel is about. The gospel is about, as I understand it, good news. And this is good news. There is therefore now no condemnation. And yet, I am certain every person here feels condemnation, in spite of that scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation on God's part. God is not condemning. So if God is not condemning, who is? Who is? Well, you probably got some family members that can condemn you, right? And you may have brothers or sisters who may condemn you. But let's qualify who's not condemned, first of all. It says those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus are not condemned by God or by the law. Because the law, you see, Jesus came and kept the law so that every demand of the law was met in Christ Jesus. And those that are in Christ are free from the demands of the law. That is, from the guilt that comes from breaking the law of God. Because in Christ, the law is kept. In him, I have freedom from that. I have freedom from the guilt that comes through the law that Jesus Christ kept in my behalf. This is why Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And everyone that believes is freed from the guilt and condemnation that the law brings on every individual. We're free from that. In Christ Jesus, there is freedom from that. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So now we're beginning to get a little deeper into this, aren't we? Who walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but are walking according to the Spirit with an understanding in our spirit that we don't have to live like the flesh requires us to live, but we can live by the Spirit that is the Spirit of Christ that has been put within us. So that we now have, through the Holy Spirit, the power to live a righteous and godly life. And if I have the power to live that, then the only thing I can be condemned about is the condemnation that comes from the devil, who says, who's always trying to make us think that we have failed. Well, in the flesh we may have failed, but in the spirit, our standing with God has not been touched at all. Because in Christ, I am righteous. In the flesh, I may be unrighteous and was unrighteous, but in the spirit, I am righteous before God. And through faith, I am connected with Him, and the righteousness that He obtained through keeping every demand of the law has been credited to my account. Amen. So that righteousness, not because in the flesh I am righteous, but because through the Spirit I have been made righteous. And so it's not a righteousness that I have attained through self-effort. It's a righteousness that I have obtained by faith. It's His righteousness. And that's why Paul could say, there is therefore now in Christ no condemnation. Because we don't walk after the flesh, we're walking after the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Does that mean that we'll never make a mistake? Well, it hasn't meant that yet for me. It hasn't meant that I've never failed anywhere along the way. Has meant that for me. Has it meant that for anyone else here? No. But I tell you what, it has meant that when I fail, when I do fail, I know I have an advocate, I have a lawyer. Because there's someone that when I make a mistake, points his finger, and that's the prosecuting attorney, whose name is the devil. And he points his finger and says, look what he did. You see, look what he did. He failed. He did something wrong. But I have an attorney, and my attorney is Jesus Christ. And the judge is His Father. And He has never lost a case. Amen. Never has. So we've kind of got a good place, so that even though we may not be perfect in the sense that we have attained sinless perfection, I believe we're perfect in our connection to Christ. We are complete. And that's what the word perfect means. In scriptural terms, it means we're complete in Christ Jesus. We're not sinless, but we are complete in Christ. And being complete in Christ, I have obtained His righteousness and can say, there is therefore now no condemnation. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm not walking after the flesh. And I'll tell you why I know I'm not walking after the flesh. I know I'm not walking after the flesh because when the flesh does something wrong, my spirit certainly says, that was wrong. Amen. My spirit, where Christ is living, my spirit then lets me know that this is wrong and I am going to deal with it. I'm going to change. I'm going to correct that situation insofar as it's possible for me to do that. And amen. And not act out what my flesh is moving on me to do, but acting out what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in my life. That's how I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian because of how I feel when I do something wrong. Non-Christians don't feel bad when they do something wrong, unless it's really something big. All these little things they don't even think about. But Christians, you see, Christians, when they do something that's not right, they talk about somebody in a way that wasn't edifying. Christians, they immediately know this is wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And usually it's followed by, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And And sometimes it's followed by going to a person and saying, you know, I said some things about you I shouldn't have said. It was wrong, and I ask you for forgive me. I ask you to forgive me. You see, I've said this before, and I don't think it really soaked in. I think that we don't have to clear things so much between us and God. Repentance, I think, is having more to do with my dealings with on the horizontal plane, not on the vertical plane. Because God, the scripture says, the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us from sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from sin. So it's not what my problem with God. It's usually someone else is involved in my wrongdoing. Amen? Somebody else is involved. So it's not trying to make things right with God. It's making things right with the person that I've sinned against. Amen. And I can, if I speak in a hateful way to my wife, I don't need to run to God and ask for forgiveness. I don't need to repent to God over what I've done. I need to repent to somebody else over what I did, because someone else was involved in what I did or what I said or how I expressed myself. Amen. Someone else is involved. So if I've shown bitterness or anger or wrath, if I've engaged in criticism and I've in a mean and with a hateful spirit, somebody else is involved in it, and I don't need to run to God with that and ask God's forgiveness. If the blood keeps right on cleansing me, then I can assume that everything is all right. But that's where we're going to get in trouble at the judgment seat of Christ that I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. That's where we get in trouble. Not that we're going to be cast out. You see, I'm convinced that it's the thing that God is going to, that we're going to be rewarded for at that judgment is not things we know we did. I don't think that it's so much about what we do publicly as what we do privately. Amen. It's not, you see, going to church, that's a wonderful thing. We ought to do that because the Bible tells us to do it. But I don't think the biggest reward is going to come to us because we went to church. Amen. Or because we had taught a Sunday school class or something like that. The bigger rewards is going to be given for the things that we did for the Lord in private that nobody else knew anything about. Amen. We didn't do it for a show. We didn't do it to be seen. We did it because it was the right thing to do. And we're going to all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And I think a lot of us are going to be depending to a great extent on these public acts of faith that we did, when the Lord is going to be really rewarding us on the basis of the private things we did that nobody knew about. Not even the person that did it. In that 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, those people that stood before the Lord in that day and heard him say, "Enter into the place that's been prepared for you by my Father, because I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me to drink, I was naked and you clothed me," and all of these things you did, and they were totally overwhelmed with surprise. They said, "Well, when, Lord? When did we do anything like that? We didn't know we did anything like that." And he said, "Why, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." And their response, as I've often stated, their response was, "Lord, we didn't even know you were looking at that. We didn't know you were even paying any attention to that." Maybe the thing that God sees is when I go to that brother I've offended in private and I didn't make a public announcement. "Now watch me. I'm getting ready to do something important here. I'm going to go right down here and I'm going to apologize to Reggie. I want you all to hear me now. No. That's not going to get them at the judgment seat of Christ. That'll be condemned. Though I did the right thing, I did it with the wrong attitude and with the wrong motive. It's the thing that we're going to all appear there one day, the scripture says. And I started out with the fact that there's no condemnation, and I don't want you to take any condemnation from anything I'm saying here. But there is a time that we're going to stand before God out there, and the thing he's going to be looking at are not the things we see. Amen. It's what we did in private. He's not looking at those who came to early morning prayer and saying, that's a big deal. I'm marking up, I'm going to give them a real 50 on that out of 100. No, it's probably that person that got in the closet that nobody even knew was praying and prayed to the Father in secret. And the Father who sees in the secret place rewards. And when is that open reward going to come? At the judgment seat. That's where it's going to come. It's not rewarding you openly now. It's that person, not the person who maybe gave the tithe at the church, but the person who slipped some money privately to a person known to be in need. Couldn't even deduct it from his income. That may be what God is seeing more than those things that we all look at and we all give a high mark. You know, I think sometimes if we're not careful, we look at preachers like they're the ones going to get the big reward because look, they're spending full time and getting paid for it too. Most of us get paid for doing it. Amen. You see, it's not what I'm getting paid for that's going to count in the presence of God. It's what I do that I'm not receiving any pay for, any recognition for. And that's why I believe Jesus said there are many who are first that are going to be last in that day, and many that are last are going to be first in that day at the judgment. And we look around and we judge after the way men look at things, but God isn't judging that way at all. He's judging the simple little things that mark us as servants of the Most High God, and some people don't even know when we did it. They didn't even hear that word of encouragement, that they didn't even see that person that just felt like they needed to go visit someone at the hospital, and they did, and they gave a word, just a simple word that indicated a love and appreciation and respect for that person, and nobody knew they did it, but God did. God knew it. Amen. What I'm trying to say is that I think there's so many people in the church that feel like, you know, what I do don't make any difference. I don't sing in the choir. I don't teach a Sunday school class. I don't go to church as regular as maybe I could. And maybe that's not what God's looking at. Maybe that's not what's the most important thing in the eyes of God. Maybe it's that secret thing you're doing. Maybe it's just raising your children to respect one another and to respect God. Amen. Maybe you don't have a big public ministry that everybody recognizes. You've never been on television. You just did some something that no one but God saw. And in the judgment, you're going to say, well, Lord, I didn't know you were even paying any attention to that. I never thought that was important. Or, I just did it because it seemed to be a good thing to do. I just felt like doing it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? The Lord was speaking to my heart about that, and I thought, up to this point, I've made a lot to do about big things that can be seen, and that's probably not even what God's going to be rewarding us over. Amen. And we look at all these obvious things, and we think, that person's going to get a reward now. I'm telling you, look what they've done. But it may be that little person that no one ever saw, never recognized as having done anything, that in that day, God says, come on up here. Come on up here. And some of the Mr. Wonderfuls is on television. They're the last. Last one to get recognition. They were having all the recognition and all the acclaim. Amen. And all the money. Now, what's that doing? Well, that's saying, and I'm stopping for the sake of those people that are in the nursery. I'm not saying that public ministry is not important. I don't want you to get that idea that I'm saying it's not that if you're seen, that nullifies everything. No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, don't look to that in itself as the thing that's going to motivate God to give the great reward when we stand in His presence on that day. Probably the thing that is going to be most important to God is what you did and didn't even know you did it. Well, that's meant to be encouraging. I didn't want everybody to take that too soberly. I want you to know that it is important what you're doing, but you may not even know what you're doing that God is looking and viewing as something that's really important in His eyes. Lord, we're going to stand before You one day, just as the Scripture tells us, over and over. And Lord, we're not going to shun public ministry because it's important. It's a part that needs to be done. But yet, we understand those of us, particularly who've been in front so much of the time in our whole life and have been involved in things that seem to be and are judged by most people as being very important. I just pray that we can begin to see that what you view as really important is not what we view that way, because You're seeing those little unseen things that we do. Loving our children and loving our wife or our husband and loving one another in the body of Christ, and just saying a kind word, just making a visit, just lifting the telephone to make a call and express appreciation to somebody for what their contribution has been. Visiting that hospital when no one knew about it except the person that was blessed by it. And so, Lord, I pray that we will this morning, that we will get it in our heart that the important thing is the little things. And I pray this in the name of Jesus.